Don't panic. This is Victor Von Psychotron of Weirdorama, and you are listening to the Don't Panic Radio Show's second annual Halloween special. Let Stephen Paul put the chill in chiller.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Benson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
No idea. Yeah. What?
What was that?
I said, hey, how you doing?
Ooh. All right, never mind. Welcome to the annual Halloween episode 2016. We couldn't be more excited. We hope you got a chance to listen to last week. We hope you are all enjoying your Halloween, and we're happy that you've chosen to have us be a part of it. We hope that we don't scare you too much. You might want to ask the kids to gather around you, because, you know, you don't want to get scared.
And it's one of the few times we'll ask you to have the kids in the room while listening to our show.
That's right. We promise you that your kids will be more open to the concepts introduced in today's show than you are. Because you see, you've, shall we say, forgotten about what it was like to understand, like truly understand, and get to the core that you don't really know what the hell's going on. People like to think that science explains stuff, but if you ever ask a scientist, they'll tell you. The more we learn, the more we find out we don't know. That having been said, I think germ theory is a good example of that. When about a century and a half ago, a guy in Europe proposed the idea that contamination caused death amongst women given birth. And he surmised this because there were two schools. There was a school and a hospital. There were two hospitals. One had students, one had veteran doctors. And the women were dying in a higher rate at the school with the veteran doctors. And nobody could figure out why. How could these students, who know nothing about medicine, be doing a better job than the doctors? Well, at the hospital with the veteran doctors, every time a woman would die in childbirth, they would do an autopsy. And the autopsy would be done by the doctors. And then they would go back and birth another baby. Whereas the students didn't perform these autopsies. So his theory was, because they were contaminated, that's why the women were dying. He was kicked out of the hospital, kicked out of the school. He was put in a prison for the criminally insane for suggesting that it was contamination killing these women. He died, ironically, of blood poisoning from being treated by a doctor who had just performed an autopsy. It would be another 50 years before Louis Pasteur would come along and people would accept this idea of contamination and germs.
How did we survive as a species?
Well, I think there's power to accepting that there are things you can't explain, but you can predict.
Right.
As we discussed last week, the elders of the tribe were able to predict the weather because of how the tea leaves floated on the water or the teacup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know that it was probably something else going on, right? Explanation that didn't necessarily have to do with the gods or the tea leaves or whatever, right?
Right.
So that's my, when I think about the paranormal and the things I can't explain, the feelings I get, the dreams I have,
uh-huh.
I don't know what causes them, but that doesn't mean I have to pretend they don't exist.
Just because it's science doesn't mean it doesn't freak me out.
Several weeks ago, we talked about the radiotherapy podcast by MP Pumpkin Spice and Tolan and the girl.
Right, and the girl.
And we sort of made fun of them a little bit for, or at least I did. I won't drag you into this. For talking about
keep my name out your mouth.
Astrology as if it's a real thing, like as if the somehow the position of the stars and the moons and all that stuff can influence a person's life. And then after that, we talked about movies that scare us, talked about the paranormal. Last week, we a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Omen, The Exorcist.
Yes.
Paranormal Activity. Well, this has all been well and good, and I'm happy to play the skeptic, except I think these things are the reason I had the weird dream I had the other night. I don't normally dream about paranormal stuff. Usually if I have a nightmare, it's about like a thief or a human, like a normal, not paranormal.
Right.
Normal. Like something happens to the kids or something like that. But this one, I, it was like one of those where you think you're awake, but you're not sure you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
So I came downstairs, and it was, as far as I can tell, very real and accurate. When I came down into, well, where we normally record, which, as you can see, is our sort of like a walkout basement. It's got big windows, though, so you can kind of see out into the woods. It's pretty dark, but for some reason I was able to see out into the trees and stuff.
It's the worst kind of basement to have if there's a, you know, zombie apocalypse.
So I came down the stairs, and I'm, like, setting up to record.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I realize that it's 3 in the morning, and I think, why am I setting up to record? Paul's not going to be awake. And, yeah, it's because in dreams, these things just make sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I shut the computer down and got up to go back upstairs, and the door was, like, gone. And in its place was, like, a floor-to-ceiling mirror, which, you know me, in mirrors. I do not like mirrors. So I just went up to it, and I was pushing on it, like, this has to be the door. Something weird's going on, you know? And I look up, and it's not really me in the mirror. I don't know how to explain it. I knew that we weren't going to record, obviously. But the door was, like I said, the door wasn't there. It was a mirror.
Right.
So I went up, to the mirror, and I figured the mirror was probably a door. The door was just a mirror. So I was pushing on it, but it wasn't moving. It was like solid, like the wall, like it was a wall and not a door. As I'm pushing, I look up, and I don't know if in the dream I was supposed to be wearing a mask. I don't know what was supposed to be happening, but it was like, like an old, old man with dried out, I'd been in the desert for 40 days and just like my skin got completely fried, right? I'm just looking and just like my hair was like, there were like big bald spots and splotches were gone. And I just remember there was a combination of fear and sadness. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just, you know, I just stepped back and just put my shoulder down and just broke my way through and like woke up. When I woke up, I had that thing, like, you know, when you have a dream and you're not sure, like, was that a dream? Was that not a dream? Because your brain doesn't know the difference, right?
Yeah.
Your brain just is like, I just had this emotion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for a good 45 seconds, you have the same whatever emotion you were having in the dream.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sometimes longer than that.
Constance was like, what the fuck? Oh, kids are listening. What the god? She said, oh, dear, my word. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit. And given the past month and the dark days of driving to, you know how they say, you know, you if you don't eat right and you don't get enough sleep and everything, like, you can get sick, right? Your immune system kind of.
Yep.
One of the things that's always fascinated me is dreams, like the interpretation of dreams. Before the internet, there was always somebody's aunt, you know. There's the per one of your aunts like, knew about dreams, right? So you'd always call her, right? Or have your mom call her or whatever. Anyway, so yeah, like, you know, in the absence of an aunt, I have the internet now. But I, you know, I looked up like, what does it mean when you're like, what does the mirror thing mean? What is the, like, I look like an old man thing mean?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about, am I going crazy? Am I, you know, the depression and the exhaustion and the, I don't know, just overall like despair. And then I thought about, you know, I remember this thing from when I was a kid that talked about if you're a believer in this stuff, like you're not a skeptic at all, you're a believer, then you have a solid grounding, mm-hmm. you'll be fine. It said if you're a total disbeliever, right. like complete atheist, humanist, secular humanist, that's just like dirt, it's dirt and we're just all bags of goo, right? That's it. When you die, you die. It's over.
Right.
Then you're going to be fine. If you're somewhere in between where you go, I don't think we have all the answers. I don't know if it's God. I don't know if it's demons. It could be, maybe. That opens you up to like your fertile ground. I don't want to call them demons because demons makes it sound like a comic book character. Not that there's anything wrong with comic book characters, but it does put it in sort of a weird realm when you talk about demons. But that is, I guess, you know, evil spirits or whatever. If there is something going on, like if you're somewhere, yeah. you're like wishy-washy on the topic, they're like, ooh, there's somebody I can get. So I started, like, it's October, right? And we've been talking about this shit. Sorry, kids. We've been talking about this poo-poo for weeks, and I've been making fun of it. So anyway, I look up, what does this mean? Like, what does this dream mean? And I find out that if, like, one of the interpretations of if you look in a mirror and it's not you, but it, like it's, but you see a demon instead of yourself, mm-hmm. that's one of the symptoms of being possessed. It doesn't mean you're possessed, but like people who were possessed reported seeing that. And I was like, well, maybe it wasn't an old man with crackled skin with blotchy hair.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't. Maybe I do want to know. I don't know. Yeah. I
think maybe we should find out.
Well, we did do that alcoholic test. and we did.
And that's often referred to as a demon in a bottle. So there is that.
It's the devil water. We did the. We also did the sex addict test.
We're two for two.
All right. What the hell? In the grand tradition of the Don't Panic radio show, I will pull up, if such a thing exists, the Are You a Demon?
The devil is my friend. The devil is my friend. Wherever I go, the devil will go. The devil is my friend. Spring morning to find myself a friend, someone I could believe in until the very end. I found myself the devil. He was sitting in a bar. He bought me 15 rum and cokes and then he went too far. Now the devil is my friend. The devil is my friend. Wherever I go, the devil go. The devil is my friend. Guitar! Shoot him with my gun. He made me mad. The devil's bad. The devil is a bum. But the devil is my friend. The devil is my friend. Wherever I go, the devil will go. The devil is my friend. And Godzilla is my friend. Godzilla is my friend. Wherever I go, Godzilla go. Godzilla is my friend. And Chernenko was my friend. And Brezhnev was my friend. And Andropov, he just popped off. Now Gorbachev is my friend. And Frank Sinatra is my friend. Sinatra is my friend. Wherever I go, Sinatra goes. Frankie is my friend. And friends. Love and rockets are my friends. Love and rockets are my friends.
David.
Every one of them round the bend.
And the Queen is my friend.
And R.E.D. is my friend. And Idi Amin.
Know what I mean?
With someone that met at the party. And the devil is my friend.
Yeah,
the devil is my friend. Wherever I go, the devil goes. The devil is my friend.
Wedding night. Diabolic demons, delirious with desire. Dark desire lures the village virgins to the castle of carnal craving. Tiptoe through terror while Satan sleeps. When the devil wakes, death rises. Unleashed. Death dwells in the domain of dark dreams. Opens the gates of hell to a bevy of bewitched beauties. Wanton witches find satanic satisfaction in an unholy alliance of evil. See the sinister sisters of Satan sacrifice screaming virgins. Plunge into pagan passion. Penetrate the portal of mortal maids. Satan is coming on the devil's wedding night. Come along.
Okay, I found this one. It's called Demon Test Questions.
Yeah?
Do you have a demon? Take this short quiz to find out if you are at risk. Okay. Do you sometimes exhibit uncontrollable outbursts of anger or violence? Does it count if I'm yelling at my kids?
I was going to say, you're a dad.
I'll put currently. Have you experimented with two or more forms of the occult?
You've done the Ouija board.
That's a yes.
Have you done, like, tarot cards?
I've done tarot cards. I've done seance.
So you are firmly ensconced in or more.
Have you been sexually violated? Raped? Incested or molested? I didn't know incested was a verb.
It's the internet.
In my past, I am not currently being raped. As far as I know. Do you sometimes manifest behavior not consistent with your normal personality? What if my normal personality is not normal?
Or not consistent?
Currently. Hang on. I gotta take a drink of beer before this next one. Do you abuse alcohol or drugs to escape painful past experiences in life? Oh, that'd be a no.
I never abuse alcohol. I have the utmost respect for it.
Do you commit immoral or illegal acts contrary to your customary values? I can honestly say no, because my values are anything but customary. Have you ever attempted or contemplated suicide? That is a yes. Are you sometimes overwhelmed with feelings of severe depression and hopelessness?
That's called living.
You know of ancestors who committed murder, suicide, or sexual perversion? One of my ancestors is Jesse James, the famous outlaw.
Really?
Mm-hmm. On my dad's side.
Well, there's a show right there. We'll get back to that.
Do voices tell you to commit illegal acts, blaspheme God, or indulge in immoral acts? No. I do all that on my own.
That's right.
I don't need voices to tell me about that. Do you live a fear-based life, resulting in paranoia or multiple phobias?
Again, that's called being an adult.
Yeah. Have you experienced emotional or physical abuse from your biological parents? From my biological parents? Not that I know of. Have you been emotionally or physically abandoned by either biological parent? Have you felt repeated disabling episodes of rejection or depression?
Are you all right there, man? You in the cold?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Have you failed repeatedly in significant relationships?
I'm glad I'm not taking this test.
Excuse me. Do you consistently experience serious health or financial issues? Hang on. It's like dusty down here or something.
Was it? You got your heat up too high?
Probably.
You're kind of sweating a little bit.
I'm always hot, man. I'm always hot. It is kind of hot down here. Do you experience health or financial issues? Well, who the fuck doesn't? Right? Are you significantly hindered in prayer, worship, Bible reading, church attendance? I wouldn't say I'm hindered. I just don't do any of that.
You're not looking so good.
Hang on, man. These headphones are just hot. I don't know what. Hang on. Hold on. Hold on. I got it. There's only one more.
Okay.
All right. Have you asked Satan to take your life in exchange for something? Okay. Well, let's see how I did. That's all the questions. All right. Let's see. You might be. Oh, shit.
Roses are red, violets are blue. This is the flower that will mean the end of Suspiria!
You can run from Suspiria. Suspiria! You can hide from Suspiria. You cannot escape Suspiria. The only thing more terrifying than the last 12 minutes of Suspiria are the first 92.
This is Victor Von Psychotron, and you are listening to the Don't Panic Halloween Special on RFI. To avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast. Only a podcast. Only a podcast. Only a podcast.
This message is transmitted at the request of the United States Office of Civil Defense. At 3:40 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, NORA detected a long-range nuclear missile launch in North Korea. This missile is believed to be headed in the direction of the Los Angeles metropolitan area. All residents within a 400-mile radius of this area should seek a fallout shelter immediately.
Emily found a bag of microwave popcorn this morning, which meant she and Sylvie could finally eat breakfast. Last month, at her 6th birthday, Dad showed her how to make microwave popcorn. Good thing, too, otherwise she and her little sister would get really hungry. And Sylvie's only 4, so she doesn't know anything about making food. Dad and Mom left 2 weeks ago, and we're still not home. Emily and Sylvie had cleaned out the good stuff already. Peanut butter, chocolate, potato chips, stuff like that. What fun those days were. Staying up late and eating whatever. Now, though, they were hungry. Every day. Emily put the popcorn in the microwave, pushed the button that said P-O-P-C-O-R-N. They watched some more of their show. Regular TV went off a while back. DVD player still worked, though. TV, popcorn, just like before, except there's no more milk. They sleep in front of the TV, Sleeping Beauty plays again and again. Could be worse. Even with Mom and Dad gone, they still had fun taking long baths, playing as long as they wanted, because Emily was in charge. But now there was no more water, and the toilet won't flush. Once, Emily almost opened the door when somebody knocked. Then she remembered. Opening the door is not allowed. Mom and Dad said, don't open the door unless it's them. Or Aunt Colleen, or Grandpa, or Grandma. It was the neighbor. Lee looked hurt. He was bleeding. He seemed scared. Then he just left. After breakfast, Emily found a box of macaroni in the basement. She used water from Mom and Dad's toilet and cooked it. She wasn't sure if the stove was working, but after all day long, the macaroni finally got soft. It wasn't hot, but at least it was soft. And anyway, they got to have macaroni for dinner. Sylvie, Roni, macaroni. They laughed so hard. She wished they could get some hot box pizza, but the phone wasn't working and she didn't know how to use the internet. Finally, Grandma came. Emily unlocked the door and they all hugged and cried together, the three of them. All night. The next morning they drove. And they drove and they drove. For 3 days. And finally they stopped at a place in the woods. Out in the country. Where there was red dirt. Grandma and Emily put up a tent while Sylvie played dinosaur in the grass. Grandma said they'd camp there for a long time and they wouldn't be seeing anybody else. Not for a long time anyway, but everything would be okay. Emily asked where Mom and Dad were. Grandma said they died. Emily didn't cry, but Sylvie did.
with thick black smoke. Through the leaves of the dead tree, the raven spoke. The ground was littered with dancing fire and jet black feathers, his only attire. Against the night, they were blurred. His mournful song, the only thing heard. I asked the raven, what would he have of me? He said, it's just my job, you see. To everything, there is an end. And upon each scene, I must descend. But carry on in time so grim. Until my next meeting with him.
And Anakin repels thee. The power of the ancient astronauts. The ancient astronaut compels thee. And Anakin repels thee. The power of the ancient astronaut. And Anakin repels thee. The ancient astronaut compels thee. And Anakin repels thee. By the power of the ancient astronaut, the space lord compels thee. Out!
No fair. No fair.
Whew. Man, I'm so tired. Did I fall asleep or black out or something, man?
Steve, we've been friends a long time. So trust me when I say this, but never, never ask me again about what just happened. Let's just say I had to call in a few favors. Maybe we should just move along to the end of the show.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
The choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure!
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons & Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.
What do you guys think happened?
One of the players Robbie played with got carried away and killed him.
Well, that's kind of far out.
Mazes and Monsters is a far out game. Swords, poison, spells, battles, maiming, killing.
Hey, it's all imagination.
Is it?
All right. Well, we are thankful to our listeners every single week. And this feels like our anniversary because I think we really started hitting our stride right around Halloween last year.
Yes, definitely.
sort of feels like an anniversary for us. And we are thankful to our listeners. We're thankful to Radio Free Indy and especially... Harry LeVay, who's our inspiration and our...
Who?
Pumpkin Spice. What'd you think I said? Now you're blacking out.
It's a crazy night.
For this episode in particular, and the reason it sounded so great isn't because I'm so talented. It's because the man behind the curtain, Mr. Paul Schultz, works magic. And there are weeks when I think we just... totally laid an egg and he turns it into a great episode. So what you heard tonight was the result of many hours of work on his part and about an hour of work on my part. So thank you, partner, brother. Thank you, brother. Also thanks to Arlo, Paul's oldest. Wait, she your oldest?
Yes. She's my oldest daughter. Yes.
So thanks to Arlo for the words to Morning Song. It's Morning with a U.
That's right.
Big shout out and thanks to Victor Von Psychotron for his brilliant introduction. You can find him on YouTube at Weirdorama.
Yes, he's awesome. Check him out. If you like the Svengoolie and the Horror Host, check Victor out.
Oh yeah. If you ever just like, well, people talk about horror movies, I don't know what to watch. Go on YouTube, seriously, type in Weirdorama, and I swear to God, it's like one of the first hits. Thanks to my youngest daughter for her creepy vocal talents. That was seriously, I was doing research for the show, for tonight's show, and she is just somewhere behind me singing that song, and I was like, oh, man. This is just too weird not to record.
Dude, it took your story to a whole different level.
Yes, it did. Oh, thanks to my oldest daughter for we did record this in my basement, mm-hmm. and there are doors. And right when I was describing how they turned into a mirror, she decided to open one of the doors very slowly, I might add. And like really added to, if I sounded scared when I was telling that story about my dream, that's because I was. And thanks to Dave Marsh for his input on the story about Emily and Sylvie and all of his inspiration, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks to our listeners, most of all, for sharing, liking. If you liked what you heard tonight, listen to it a few dozen times. Tell a friend, share, like, and don't forget, nothing you just heard, was true.
Is dead, the bats have left the bell tower, the victims have been bled, red velvet lines, the black box, Bela Lugosi is dead.
Sure.